This is the second week of the KSFR Fun Drive, and we're sure getting ready to finish. We hope to finish as soon as we can. I hope not even to go into next week, but if we go into next week, we'll have to. But right now, I am so delighted to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Jason Silverman. He is the director of the Cinematheque at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts in Santa Fe, and his amazing and wonderful son, Theo Leahy Silverman. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
It's a great pleasure, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to have both of you, too. And because it's the case of our fun drive, we are setting a goal. We're setting a goal of $1,000 or more this hour. And Jason, you, right before we went on the air, made a very generous contribution, but you're asking for a match.
I am. I am going to pledge $100. And I would, am I allowed to mention the numbers on the radio?
You just did.
Oh.
Yes, you are.
Can we just rewind that?
During the fun drive.
Oh, during the fun drive. Okay. Because I know, like, you're not supposed to talk about, you know, the
we
dollar
don't usually,
amount.
Yeah, we don't usually say, and this event costs $73, you know, but we don't. But, yes, on the fun drive, $100 a match for anybody who calls with any contribution to contribute to that $100 match.
Yeah, and my specific challenge is to anyone who has been on Mary Charlotte's show. So that's about 70,000 of the 80,000 people who live in town, right? Anyone who's been on Mary Charlotte's show and has benefited from her expertise and her research and her passion for whatever strange subject comes up and her ability to actually, I know for us, get people to come out to the theater. It's actually, I should probably be pledging about $4,000 for all of the benefit you've brought to us.
Is that true? So when we, for example, interview a director on the Radio Cafe, then people show up to the movie?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, I love that. I love hearing that.
For sure. I mean, and that's the power of public radio, right? I mean, people are listening, and you're not trying to sell us anything. You're not trying to sell us a car. No ads, right. You're not trying to sell us a car. You're just trying to get people to come out and participate in all the amazing things that are happening in Santa Fe.
428-1393 is the number. And if you've ever been on this show, contribute toward Jason Silverman's challenge of $100. 428-1393. We've got one person on the phone. We've got another lovely phone volunteer sitting here and waiting for your call. 428-1393. And there it goes. We love it when the phone rings. There's other phones ready for your call. So I want to talk to you, Theo, about what you're doing, because you're doing something pretty amazing, which is you are a member of, what, is it your school chess club?
Yeah, my school.
And where do you go to school?
I go to the Mandela International Magnet School. It's great. It's great.
Yeah,
amazing
yeah.
teachers and really cool curriculum.
And so they also, among everything else, have a chess program.
Yes.
How did you start to play chess?
Just with my dad. We were just playing around, but I did learn, so.
Yeah, I needed something that I could beat him at, so I picked chess, and I figured I'll be able to beat him at this for a while, but it didn't last long.
Didn't last.
So, yeah, I need to keep him humble.
How long have you been playing chess?
Since I was 6, 7.
So that's what, 7 or 7 years now? No, six years now or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you are doing a special event tomorrow morning at the CCA, which is a screening of something which is fairly rare in this world, which is a documentary about chess.
Well, not rare at CCA, but I guess so.
Well, how many chess documentaries have been made?
We're trying to show a chess documentary every week.
A different one.
This is the best chess documentary
ever,
though.
The Ukrainian chess documentary.
That's right.
But this is an American chess documentary about Brooklyn, about chess players in Brooklyn.
Yeah, an inner city team. Yeah, I won't spoil it, but it's a really good movie.
It's called Brooklyn Castle, and you know this is one of what's called an at-risk school, you know, in a troubled area of Brooklyn, and you know, one of the schools that has a high rate of, you know, free lunches, which is the measurement for, you know, schools that have impoverished populations, and you know, they don't have enough money for athletic programs, but they have put together this chess team, and the chess team is awesome, and they win national competitions year in and year out. So this follows a two-year cycle in that program.
And what's so amazing about it is it busts all your – I did an interview on this whenever it came out. Was that a couple of years ago,
yeah.
I think? But it busts a lot of stereotypes. And I love it when stereotypes get busted because so few stereotypes really hold, especially the negative ones. There are some stereotypes about Italians, which really are true, but they're not terrible things, you know. But
You're not going to do any kind of impressions or
of my grandparents?
Yeah,
not right now. But that's another story. No, but I mean, here you have these black and Latino kids. You've got these girls. One of the master chess players was this in the movie is this like 13 or 14 year old girl who is a monster. She's a killer. And there she is in her, like, groovy clothes and her hair and everything, you know, chess maniac. It's so great. It's a really good and well-made documentary.
Yeah, it's very inspiring. And, you know, it's amazing. Chess is such a great thing for kids to do because it organizes their thinking. And you have to be thinking ahead, right? I mean, you're thinking multiple moves ahead when you're beating me.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it depends on who I'm playing. If it's, like, a five-year-old, then I can, like, kind of check out. But if it's someone who's – I mean, well, I guess you'd fall into the five-year-old category.
Thank
with
you.
The skill level-wise. But
thank you.
If I'm playing someone that I really need to beat, then I would – I mean, I'm not very good, but
so what's
I try my best.
What's that – like, what is the process of learning to strategize in chess? Like, tell us about that.
Again. Well, I think it's really in a lot of people say it's in learning openings and types of moves, and I've only just learned them like last year.
Okay.
Really for me.
Bye-bye.
I mean, what it's very competitive. And that's really what pushed me to get learning because, I mean, of course I need to beat my dad and my friends.
Well, we've already dispensed with that, apparently.
Yeah. And, well.
He gets sloppy sometimes.
I get sloppy.
You know, it's amazing because there was a tournament at the Santa Fe Indian School a few weeks ago, and the Mandela School did very well. It was a regional tournament. But what was amazing is that they, you know, they put a covering over the floor of the basketball court, and it's in this big arena, and there was tables filling up the floor and people in the stands watching, and it was like a regular athletic event, and kids from around northern New Mexico came. It seems like there's a strong chess contingent in northern New Mexico, and the tournament that we're raising money for with Theo's event is for a state tournament in Albuquerque that's coming up in April.
428-1393, and we've got a couple of thank yous. I want to thank you so much to Peter Duggan, who called, and Banking on New Mexico, who called. And then we got a call from somebody who has actually been on the Radio Cafe, so thank you for that challenge, Jason Silverman. Howard Gross, he called for the matching fund. Thank you all so much. Let's keep the phones ringing. 428-1393, 428-1393, and let's get to our goal of $1,000 for this hour. Now I have a question for you guys. How do you watch a chess tournament? Like, I can see how you watch a basketball game, but the pieces are really small. What are you watching when you sit in the bleachers?
You can't sit in the bleachers.
Ah.
If you've ever it's not possible.
So
I mean, unless you have, like, very, very good eyesight, then you kind of have to go and mingle with the parents and everything, and that's sometimes you get like annoyed stares from them. They think they're that you're like disrupting the game or something. So, but I mean, you really do have to get up close to see everything.
It's not the world's greatest spectator sport.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
say.
Hockey. Where's the puck? I don't even know where the puck is half the time.
It's where the guys are.
Yeah, no, you can follow the guys. I'm like, oh, what's that? There, what? There, what?
I used to go watch hockey games when I was in high school, and it was a marvel. 428-1393. We got a little flurry of calls, and now the phones are quiet. So let's get them ringing. So this fundraiser for the – it's for the chess team?
Yes, for the chess team.
At the Mandela Magnet School, which is a public school, a charter school that's just recently opened here in Santa Fe and apparently is doing very well. It's good to hear that from students who are happy there. That is at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at the crack of 10 at the CCA. And everybody can come out and, you know, young and old. I think it's an inspiring movie for everybody.
Yeah, and the kids are going to be bringing stuff to sell, et cetera, too. So you don't have to eat your breakfast first. You can have your Krispy Kremes and your burritos and coffee. And the kids are providing all that. And all the kids are gathering together and selling, too. So a nice community event.
So we are here to talk about not only chess, but also public radio. You are both public radio listeners. And I wanted to ask you, Theo, how did you start listening to KSFR?
Well, when I was, four, I would listen to my dad with our old, clunky, I don't even know what it's called. It's just a big black box.
Mm-hmm. I think it's called a radio.
Radio, yeah.
No. It's
kids today.
This is very different. It's like it was larger than me then.
The stereo.
I don't know what it,
the stereo system.
The boom box? In any case, you listened to that when you were four.
Yes.
Not knowing quite what it was, figuring it might be from outer space or something.
Yes.
And we'd listen to your show in the car, and we'd listen to David Barsamian's show, and we listened to a lot of different music shows. And so KSFR's pretty much, not always, but 80-90% of the time has been what's on the radio when we're driving around.
Yes.
And
sometimes we listen to KUNM.
Yeah, that's a terrific station. I listen to it myself. In fact, I got my start in radio on KUNM. As a volunteer on the Salsa Show.
All right, there you go. So yeah, so and Theo's been a radio fan since the beginning. It's always interesting to watch him listening to all of the talk that goes
on. That's not creepy.
Watching him listening is sort of like watching chess.
Well, we've been listening to some talk radio. I'm a little bit obsessed with the election, maybe too much so, and so we've been listening to talk radio and. I think for kids, they get a different sense of the world by hearing these voices that are different from what their parents or their teachers are talking about and hearing different kinds of information than they might otherwise have, and particularly on public radio, which is much more balanced and nuanced and offers a level of complexity that you won't get with commercial radio.
And frankly, and I don't want to, I mean, just let's say it frankly, there's a lot more intelligence on public radio.
That's true. I mean, the idea of what you do and what a lot of the NPR shows do and what things like This American Life and David Barsamian is they give you information in a balanced, nuanced, complex, and often deep way that you just don't get from sound bites. You know, when you're listening to commercial radio, you have these news spots at the top of the hour, and it's, a sentence or two about these major developments, and that's what you get. And a lot of times, the emotionality of those news bits are, they're based on fear or distraction or...
commercial radio.
Yeah, and so you're not... I think a lot of what's happening in this election cycle is you have people who are operating out of fear and out of, I guess, what John Stewart called truthiness.
Right.
Stephen Colbert called truthiness, which is the idea that, you can take a fact, and if you take it far enough out of context, it loses its factuality. And that's what happens when you isolate facts from context. And what I think happens on KSFR on a regular basis is that you get facts in context. You get the whole story. So you get to think about the complexity of any given issue.
And even our shorter news pieces, news on the hour, and we do hourly news from 7 in the morning till 7 at night pretty much almost every hour, those also, though they are short form, are remarkably in-depth journalism. We have a great news team. They go out and get the stories, and I listen every day, and I learn about my community from listening to KSFR News.
Yeah, and when you listen to BBC News, you get the whole story. You get pros and cons. You get context. And, you know, I think what's happening now with the way people are receiving their news is a threat to our democracy, and it's an existential threat for our country, because people are getting their news from these really biased sources, and it's really it's limited what you're learning. The people who are presenting, you know, the so-called facts are presenting them to strengthen their case rather than to educate or inform their listeners.
Yeah, and I think that news stations like this, they leave it for the listener to interpret what they hear, and they're not making you biased towards some party or other, and so that's really important too.
I agree very much with what you just said, Theo, and one of the nicest comments I ever got from a listener when I was actually in the cafe, in the baking company, in the radio cafe, was somebody who came up to me and said, "I love your show. You are teaching me how to think, but not what to think." And I loved that. I was so happy. 428-1393, Walter and Rita Bard, thank you very much. Now, Rita Bard has been on the show, so that counts toward our Jason Silverman challenge of people who have been on the Radio Cafe, and we need one more contribution to make that $100 match just for that part. And we're looking for $1,000 this hour. 428-1393, 428-1393.
Before we go talking about the radio more, I think we need to – today's kind of a special day in Santa Fe. We were all at the Meow Wolf opening last night. And
many
I think,
people were, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we just need to give a shout-out to Meow Wolf before anything else happens, because I think there's a before and after in Santa Fe. This is a really big moment for Santa Fe. What they've done over there is magnificent. Theo and I spent – A bit of time in there last night, and
God, it was amazing.
I've gone now a couple of times because I went early for a press preview because I had Vince Cadlebeck, the CEO of Meow Wolf and one of the co-founders, on the air on Wednesday, and so I wanted to see a little bit of it before that, and now I've seen it in its finished state, although I'm sure it'll be in a state of evolution for some time to come. But the House of Eternal Return is one of the most, perhaps the most magnificent art installation I've ever seen in my life. And it was magical. It was, I think, the most real representation of a dream state that I have ever seen in art, including movies, installations, and literature. It was just beautiful and amazing and deep. And I feel like I could go there every week and get something new out of it for a year.
What? There's your challenge. Yeah, I'm ready to go back and look around some more. I mean, I just kind of scratched the surface, but I all of the things you experienced, I'm ready to experience. I was just marveling at the amount of work that all of these people put in, and it was like a big volunteer crew. And how many artists worked on it?
I think the number 150 was mentioned, but it's probably more than that.
So I just wanted, a huge congratulations to all of the people who worked on it.
There's the phone. We like to hear that. 428-1393 is the number here at KSFR, and let's keep going toward that $1,000 challenge for this hour. Now, I have another challenge, and that I want to put out to the listeners right now. As probably most of our listeners know, the Santa Fe Baking Company closed abruptly, and it's not going to reopen, at least not as the Santa Fe Baking Company. And I don't know what's going to happen to that space, and nobody knows at this point, as far as I can tell. A lot of people are asking me what happened. Honestly, I don't know what happened. There were news stories about financial woes and things like that. The way this all affects me personally and the way it affects KSFR is I would like to find a new cafe to go into. So I am putting this challenge out to the listeners. Make a contribution right now of any size, from $5 to $500 or higher, anything you can afford, and tell us where you think the Radio Cafe should be next. I will say that I have talked to Counterculture, and they're wonderful people, and everybody should eat there if they haven't. But that seems not to be a fit. You know, we sort of decided that. And so where else? And my criteria are that it has to be open at 8 in the morning and that there has to be at least reasonably good parking somewhere nearby. 428-1393, if you have any ideas about where the Radio Cafe should find its new home here in the city of Santa Fe, give us a call. That is the challenge of the second half of the Radio Cafe. We're going to take a little break right now and just listen to some words from our beloved sponsors. Please call during that time, 428-1393, and we'll be right back. And we're back in the KSFR central headquarters. The phone is ringing. We love to hear about that. And we've got another thank you. And we would like to thank Alexis and her daughter, Sophia, and also Avery, Sophia Avery. And thank you very much to you. And the phones continue to ring. 428-1393 is the number, $1,000 goal for this hour. And frankly, we're not that close yet, even with this very kind match from Jason Silverman. Jason Silverman from the CCA and his son, Theo, are joining us today on the Radio Cafe. So the challenge for this half hour is people who have any ideas about where the Radio Cafe should relocate has to be open by 8 a.m.
Oh, so and I just wanted to say that, you know, this is our station. This is Santa Fe's radio station. And, you know, the commercial radio stations are for profit, obviously. They're for profit entities. They exist to make money. And they make money by selling your ears and brains to their commercial advertisers.
Is your brain for sale?
And KSFR asks us all to take some ownership of this and chip in. And instead, it's an act of generosity rather than a financial transaction. So all the people who are working here, there's volunteers in this room. This room is filled with volunteers who are answering the phones and who are helping. And we're listening. And instead of listening to advertisements when we listen to KSFR, we hear things that we need to hear to participate in this community. And we hear things that inspire us. We hear music that's beautiful. We hear new ideas. We, you know, we're introduced to all the things that make us kind of sing and glow as human beings. And that only exists if we all chip in and take ownership and participate. And it only happens a couple times a year where KSFR asks us to contribute. And we just have to, at those times, participate. It's something that this community really needs. This is the voice of Santa Fe. It is, you know, invaluable to us to have a commercial-free, non-corporate, not-for-profit, community-oriented place where people can share their stories, where we can spread the news that we need to spread, that we can listen to music and ideas from around the world. This is what we need. It's especially important now as the storytelling machinery of our society gets more and more corporatized and more commodity driven.
428-1393, if you resonate with what Jason Silverman just said, which I certainly do, 428-1393 is the number here at KSFR, and we've got just about a half an hour left to meet our $1,000 goal, and I so agree with you, and I feel like there are all these oases of intelligence and heart and culture and meaning that we have in this sphere, which is sometimes not always the nonprofit sphere, namely corporate, non-corporate radio, non-commercial public radio, and also the kinds of things that you do at the CCA, namely independent film. Those independent documentaries are so often made with heart, and people have to fundraise for them. They're not made to make money. If they make money, everybody's happy. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to have a nice life and have the things that they like and so on. But that's not the driving force, as you know, Jason Silverman, as a filmmaker.
Well, it's only recently that the idea of storytelling became something that we associated money with. You know, through our history as human beings, we would tell stories as a way of teaching each other, as a way of connecting with each other. And, you know, it was the kind of around the fire thing where there were stories told, and those stories taught us how to be part of our community, and they taught us about the world. And it's only been in the last several hundred years where we started associating storytelling and sharing of information with the commodity culture, with money. And so what's happening outside of public radio is actually what's new. What's happening with public radio is the old way of being, which is that we, you know, in a sense, we're gathering around the fire to share stories with each other that we all need to know. And we're learning about how to be part of this community. And, you know, in a capitalist society, those things cost money. And so that's why each, you know, we're here at this pledge drive to make this thing work for our community. But there's this isn't a for-profit entity where people are, you know, putting money away for their future. This is the money that you provide by donating today goes to keeping the doors open and keeping the electricity going and making sure that this resource continues. And that, you know, we basically have this electronic or this broadcast fire burning for our community.
428-1393, 428-1393. And we've got a couple of thank yous. The wonderful and brilliant Jan Willem Janssens, who has been on the Radio Cafe many times over the years and who's the director of a company called Ecotone, he's a real expert on ecosystems, particularly here in the Southwest, and getting people to work with each other to have healthy ecosystems and water, made a generous contribution, bringing us to our match of Jason Silverman's very kind contribution. So thank you so much, Jan Willem. And we got a donation from Zoe the dog and Little Orphan Annie, who is a cat. And I cannot read what the rest of this says, but that some people have been suggesting Dulce and Java Joe's. So those are two more suggestions, but we're taking suggestions about where to relocate the Radio Cafe now that the Santa Fe Baking Company is no more. 428-1393. And please call us and let us know, and please make a contribution of any size while you do so. 428-1393. So it's really it's been interesting arriving on Tuesday morning and seeing the words closed all over the baking company, and then rushing, because I was there at 7:45, and of course we go on the air just after the 8 o'clock news, and so I went rushing down to KSFR to the station, and then went back just to sort of look at it. And
it must have felt intense for you, because you've had so many amazing conversations in that space.
I have had so many amazing conversations in that space, and it was really like a home to me, and I've known the people who worked there for so long, and then it changed ownership recently, but some of the same people were working there, and there's regulars there, and so many chance meetings happened there that led to radio programs. And it was almost like, and I don't want to overstate it, but it was almost like the sudden death of a friend who you were having lunch with yesterday, and now they're gone.
I'm heartbroken about it. That, you know, sometimes when we talked about the energy that we wanted at the CCA, we talk about the Santa Fe Baking Company, and because it was a place that was completely inclusive. You'd see people from across the spectrum there, people from, you know, from all classes and all ethnicities and from throughout the city. And it was a totally friendly space. It was affordable. You could sit as long as you wanted and hang out. And
refill coffee.
There's no way you could go in there and not run into four or five people who you knew. And it was one of those places that made Santa Fe great. It's a real loss to the community.
a real loss to the community, and yet there's also a lot of other wonderful restaurants. And, you know, I went to yesterday, I started doing a little tour of Santa Fe coffee shops, and there were two different places recommended to me that had already closed. People that had gone into business and done the best they could, and they were no longer there. And it just makes you realize how tricky it is to open a successful business and maintain it over time.
It's hard work. It's really hard work in a small town like this. And, you know, keeping Santa Fe local and independent is so important. There are so few places left that have the heart and soul that Santa Fe has, that have locally owned businesses, that have not been overrun by, you know, corporate chains. And, you know, it's what makes Santa Fe really special. So we lost the Zia this month. We lost the Santa Fe Baking Company this month. It's really important that we keep on supporting what's local, including our local public radio station.
428-1393 is the number. Now, there's something that a kind of distinction that I want to make. We've been talking about corporations, and there's a kind of corporatocracy and a lot of problems that go along with that, as we talk about here on public radio. I did a show about Bechtel the other day, and it's always mixed because, I mean, I have sitting here on the table an Apple computer. Apple is a big corporation. They do a lot of good in the world. I'm not sure what bad they do in the world. There's probably all kinds of stories that I don't know. But when you look at a place like Santa Fe, the distinction isn't always for-profit and non-profit. The distinction is local versus sort of like faceless national corporation. There's so many good small for-profit businesses in Santa Fe. Some of them are struggling. Some of them are doing really well. And all of them should be supported.
And, you know, it's about balance, really, because we can't make top-end computers in Santa Fe. It's just not going to happen. So we need Apple to do that. But when these, you know, corporate entities start overrunning what's local, then we're in trouble. When there's no more baking companies and there's only fast food chains, you know, we're all going to suffer.
428-1393 is the number. And what shows do you listen to, Theo, on KSFR?
Well, we listen to your show mostly. We listen to a lot of the music.
What kind of music do you like?
Well, lately I've actually started liking Spanish guitar, but otherwise just rock in general. But, I mean, I really like everything that I listen to. I've no trouble liking music. It's not a problem for me.
What about you, Jason?
I like Steve Terrell's shows a lot. All the late night music is great. I mean, I'll turn that on and, you know, hear stuff that I'd never heard before. We listen to alternative radio. We listen to BBC News. We, of course, listen to Santa Fe Radio Cafe. There's always something good happening at KSFR.
We got a very generous donation from Karen and Spencer Ralston, who donated in honor of the Radio Cafe and Jason and Theo. Yay. Thanks, you guys. And thank you so much, Karen and Spencer. We got a kind donation from Margarita Brandis. We got one who says there are coffee shops in Taos.
The Taos Radio Cafe.
You know what? I actually have been thinking of going on the road and doing some radio cafes from other towns. So that's
you just need that satellite dish on the top of the Tercel.
There's ways to do this. There really are ways to do this. Whoever this Taos supporter is, please write to me at radiocafe@ksfr.org and tell me about your favorite coffee shops in Taos, and let's get this conversation going.
And thank you to Karen and Spence. They support everything. And there are people in this town who really keep Santa Fe running, who just support everything, who are just, you know, they're there when you need them, and they keep Santa Fe special.
428-1393 is the number. We are getting closer. We are coming into our goal. So we love that, and I like to be able to say at the end of the hour that Radio Cafe listeners have been supportive. I wanted to talk to you, Jason, a little bit about the trajectory of your film. You made a wonderful film called Semben, which probably many of our listeners have heard, have seen, and many of them have not seen. Is it still screening at the CCA?
No, it's done at the CCA. We had a nice run there, but it's playing everywhere. I mean, we're in Boston tonight and Luxor, Egypt tomorrow.
What?
And yeah, I know it's been all over. It's in Nigeria, you know, next week. It just keeps on going. So it's been really fun to see. It just got a booking at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And so it's been great. And the response has been excellent. Every day there's another Facebook post. I saw your film last night and I loved it. And so it's getting out into the world slowly but surely. We'll have some news pretty soon about an international broadcast. And it's been exciting. You know, it's a good story to talk about in terms of public radio, because Usman Semben was a self-taught writer and filmmaker who never cared about money. I mean, he only cared about his community. And he was a guy who had such a strong will and was so talented that he could have done anything. He could have been a titan of business if he wanted to.
Right.
But he really wanted to be a storyteller for the African people, and that's what he dedicated 50 years of his life to. He just wanted to make sure that African stories were told for African people. And he was just determined and tireless, and kind of like KSFR, he just wanted to get the stories out there. Theo's laughing at me because I'm just wrapping everything into the KSFR pledge drive.
Well, that's what it's about right now and for the next 14 minutes here on the Radio Cafe, 428-1393. And we've got some more thank yous. Nancy Suter, thank you so much for being with us. And Susan, I believe it's my eyes aren't so good on this piece of paper, but I think it's Susan Fuqua and Bill Good. Thank you for your contribution. Love it when the phone rings, 428-1393. So keep calling so we can not only reach our goal for this hour, but really get this fun drive done. That's another piece of it. So having worked so hard and for so many years on this film and gone through the incredible learning curve that you went through, because this is the first film you made.
It's the first film I directed, yeah.
Yeah. And your collaborator, Samba Gajigo, also, this is, I guess, the first film that he made. His first feature. Okay. And I remember when the film opened, I think it was he who said, yes, it was like the one-eyed man leading the blind.
Right. Yeah. We had a lot to learn.
And so you pulled it off.
We pulled it off. It was, you know, I can't say it was fun, but it was a deep process. And I know you've been following along since the very beginning.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, and I have to say that I said this in my introduction at the Lensic, is, you know, I'm a Jewish guy from Connecticut. Samba's a Senegalese guy living in Massachusetts. Our animator is Australian living in Brooklyn. Our editor is a Cuban guy living in Toronto. And, you know, so this film, and it's about a West African subject. And takes place partly in France, and so it's a film that's all over the world in a sense.
Right.
But its heart and soul was really here in Santa Fe. I mean, this was a Santa Fe business. It's supported by the New Mexico Film Office, and I think the heart and soul of Santa Fe is right at the center of Semben. And even though Santa Fe doesn't appear in the film, it's there in every frame. And
yeah.
I think the same kind of support and love we got in making this film is the same, you know, it's what drives all of the, you know, the wonderful things that happen in this town. Things like Meow Wolf opening and things like the Lensic and Site Santa Fe and the opera and all of the amazing not-for-profits, the educational organizations, and our public radio station.
Yeah.
And
it's a very special place. Very, very few places can actually they have the very few places have the art scene that Santa Fe does, but Santa Fe itself is very supportive, and that's a very important quality of it. So.
And that's what we love during this fund drive, Santa Fe being the supportive place that you both have so eloquently described. And 4281393 is the number. We have a generous contribution from Dee Blanco, a wonderful veterinarian who's also been on the show. So she's contributing toward that. And so many people whose really primary concern is public service. It's so gratifying.
Well, you know, the KSFR is in a sense the lifeblood of all of these things that happen, because it's the way that we get connected with the things that happen. I mean, there's, you know, it's great we have the Santa Fe Reporter and we have Paso Tiempo, and they're wonderful and serves kind of the same function as KSFR. KSFR is so fiercely independent and non-commercial that you know, it can go out on a limb when it needs to, and so we're really, really fortunate to have it in this community. And I can't imagine all of the good things that happen in Santa Fe happening without KSFR.
4281393 is the number. Now, Jason, what is it like for you, having finished this film and gone through that very difficult process of, you know, learning to make a feature film, succeeding, going through the fundraising for it, going through the editing process, getting it out into the world, getting recognition, getting distribution, and now here you are, like back home. Is it a letdown?
No, not at all. I mean, it's so nice to be able to hang out and play some chess with Theo and lay around in bed and watch 30
chess,
Rock.
Are you kidding?
Well, it's
Guitar
not,
Hero.
Guitar Hero. Theo got me a Guitar Hero.
It was his birthday.
For my birthday. So we're playing a lot of PS2 lately. And it's been, you know, it was a tough road. So it's been great. And the kitchen is clean. So it's been wonderful, and you know, it's so nice to just be back in Santa Fe and be here and be present in Santa Fe, and have a little more spaciousness.
4281393 is the number, and we just got a generous contribution from Leslie Barkley, who is a wonderful community member. Ran into her the other day. Thank you so much, Leslie. Thank you to everybody who's calling, and don't forget the challenge. Where should we put the Radio Cafe now that the Santa Fe Baking Company is no longer? 4281393. Make a contribution of any size and make a suggestion. Parking is important. It's not the only consideration. The only real consideration is being open at 8 a.m. 4281393. We've got 8 minutes left in the show. And I just would like to say a big thank you to everybody who has supported this show over the years, and who really contributes, because this is not the kind of show that you can do alone. It is by nature a conversation. So every, you know, I don't get on the air solo and talk for an hour. I couldn't do that if I tried. It's not in my nature.
You could.
No,
I would
so
listen.
Much.
I want to
not say, after the first day.
I want to say thank you to Mary Charlotte, because I know how hard you work to. Yeah, I have done radio interviews where it was very clear that the host had not done their homework.
Like, see, have you done radio interviews on Sem Ben where the person hadn't seen Sem Ben?
I have.
Oh, dear.
And I have never listened to your show or been on your show when you were anything less than 100% prepared. And that means that it's not just the hour and a half of getting everything ready and doing the show, but it's hours of preparation. It's reading the book from the author that you're interviewing. It's watching the film. It's reading deeply about whatever subject matter. And that's an incredible gift for Santa Fe, to have someone who's going to dig a little more deeply into whatever it is that you know we're talking about, and unfold some. You know, the conversations about Sem Ben that you and I have had on the radio and off the radio have been some of the best conversations I've had, and it's a huge gift to Santa Fe to have your level of commitment. So another reason to pick up your phone and call in and make a pledge so we can make sure that the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, hopefully we'll find a cafe so you can keep the cafe in your name, keep the Santa Fe Radio Cafe strong, keep KSFR strong.
428-1393 is the number, and we've had two more very generous contributions, one from Xenia Victor and Galen Duke, who love the program, and they are Santa Fe treasures who have been running something called the Bali Art Project for many years, in which they take high school juniors to the island of Bali for about 4 weeks in the month of June. And it's just a fantastic thing.
Theo's like, where do I sign up?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, you know, you never know how long they're going to keep doing it. But and the other is from Nancy Woodward, who was also a member of that Bali trip some years ago, in memory of Horatio. And how sweet you are, Nancy Woodward, to think of my little dachshund, my little what my mother called him, the black sausage.
such a sweet pup.
Little black dog who came waddling in every morning.
Another morning for Santa Fe is Horatio.
You know, the way I see it, and I'm, you know, I love dogs more than anything, and probably regular listeners to this show know that. And when they die, you miss them terribly. And I do have some other dogs, and that helps ease the loss. But the way I feel about dogs, and I've lost dog after dog because they have a lifespan of 15 years or so, or less, sometimes a little more, but is that dogs die, and there's another dog who will come into your life and who will love you just as much and whom you will love just as much. And it's really different from people. When you lose a good friend, or when you lose, you know, a father, as I did when I was a teenager, or when you lose somebody like my grandmother, who I loved very, very much, they are not replaceable. And it's, you know, it's just a different thing. And no disrespect to any dogs who might be listening to the Radio Cafe today, but, you know, it's just easier to let go. You got a dog, you say goodbye, you cry like a baby. And then you let go.
Then you have to buy a new sausage. Then, come waddling in, wake you up.
Well, this is the thing. I had a dachshund years ago named Dugan, who had been the dog of somebody's grandmother, and the grandma passed away, and for whatever reason, the dog ended up in my house. And I loved this dog. And he was an old dog, and I had him for 2 years, and he was sick quite often, but he was so great, and he was so healthy and so angelic. And then he died, because dogs die, and he was very kind of gracious about it. He went quickly and was very friendly about even his own death. He was a good dog. And after that, I thought, I must get another, because he was a dachshund mix. I thought, I must get another dachshund right away. And I was like, you know, I've still got my terrier's milk and honey. I'm just going to, like, live with terriers and chill out for a while. And 3 months later, somebody knocks on my door and brings a dachshund. And says, we can't keep him anymore. He's got some problems, and we just, you know, can't afford the vet care, and do you want him? And they actually said, take him to the pound. And I looked at this sick dog. I was like, they're not going to, this is not a pound dog. This is a dog to take to the vet. I took the dog to the vet and had 7 glorious years with Horatio. So this is an honor and shout out to all dog people and dog lovers. And once again, 428-1393 is the number at the KSFR control room, at the KSFR fundraising room. And I'm so happy that people have called and supported the show today. I think we've actually reached our goal. That isn't to say, I haven't added up all the numbers yet, so I'm not absolutely positive, but it's looking good. And here's another thank you. We want to thank Fran Cole, who's not with the Botanical Garden anymore. She made a very kind contribution to KSFR. Here comes the theme music. So, oh gosh, we didn't do Speaking of the Arts.
Lots of great stuff in Santa Fe this weekend. Pick up your Pasatiempo or get online and look at the Santa Fe Reporter. There's all kinds of amazing things, including the Meow Wolf opening.
Yes, go to Meow Wolf. That is a command, not a suggestion.
And the 5.5 hour long Matthew Barney extravaganza called River of Fundament, playing at the CCA.
Heavens.
Oh, and one other quick one is we have Only Yesterday, which is a Japanese animation by Studio Ghibli, a fundraiser for the Santa Fe Gym. again tonight at the CCA.
Oh, gosh. And not to forget Brooklyn Castle tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, a very fine film and a fundraiser for Theo's chess team at the Mandela Magnet School, 428-1393. Let's get the phones ringing through the end of the news for the Radio Cafe for KSFR. Theo Leahy Silverman and Jason Silverman, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.